Now we continue our Revelation Bible study. We are on section 26, page 29 of the Revelation Bible study detailed outline, which can be found at firmfoundationri.com. And now section 26 covers Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. This is the sign of the woman clothed with the sun. And we'll be parking here for a little bit. There's a lot in this passage, in these few verses. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1 reads, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." So this great sign is witnessed by the Apostle John in heaven. And we need not go outside the Bible to interpret the meaning of this sign. So let's take a look at the Old Testament background. And we'll go to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, verses 9 through 11, which reads, "And then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me.' So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind." So the context here is Joseph. And Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, who was later called Israel. And note the parallels here. The woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, on her head a garland of 12 stars. And in Genesis 37:9, we've got the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down to Joseph. So there's a total of 12 stars, Joseph inclusive. So this great sign is clearly representative of Israel. It identifies the woman as Israel when we compare Scripture with Scripture. And we're going to see that even more as we continue. In Revelation 12, verse 2, we read, "Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth." So remember, the woman is Israel, and the woman Israel is with child. From Israel, in fact, comes the Christ child. And this is one of those points where the genealogies are so important. We go to Matthew chapter 1 in verse 2 and we read, we'll start in verse 1 to get a running start to get the full context here. "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ." So this is the lineage of Jesus Christ in his humanity. Of course, being divine, he has no lineage in his divinity, but in his humanity. "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers." So that's Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. And then when we move down to verse 16, we read, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." So from Israel comes the Christ child. The woman in this passage is Israel. But here, we made application to the fact that Mary, as a descendant of Israel, an Israelite, is going to be God's chosen vessel for the virgin birth of the entrance of God and his humanity into the world which he created. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3 reads, "And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads." So here we have a fiery red dragon. And the fiery red dragon is representative of the devil himself. And many have taken artistic license and they color the devil red. Well, there's a scriptural precedent for this, and it's found right here in Revelation chapter 12 in verse 3. So this is the devil himself with earthly kingdoms and crowns. And this is the final form of the fourth world kingdom of Rome, which Daniel talks about in his prophecy. And when we go to Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 25, we read, "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. Trample it, break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saint shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time." So here we have the great prophecy in Daniel of the fulfillment of the fourth world kingdom under Satan's dominion. And we've got the 3.5 year time period of the great tribulation, right? Remember where we are chronologically in the book of Revelation as we approach Revelation chapter 12. We're at the midpoint of the tribulation. So we've got 3.5 more years left when there will be a persecution of ethnic Jews and Christians of all ethnicities, such as the world has never ever seen before. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4 reads, "His tail," and this is the tail of the great fiery red dragon, "drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born." So a third of the stars of heaven, and we're not talking about literal stars. Remember, we compare scripture with scripture. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, we read, "The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches." So stars represent angels in the book of Revelation consistently, but here we're dealing with a third of the stars of heaven who are thrown to the earth. So these are not holy angels. These are fallen angels. These are angels who joined Satan in his rebellion against God. Now, we also read here that the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And the roots of this go back to the Garden of Eden. We'll go to Genesis chapter 3 in verse 15. And this is right after the fall of man, right after the first sin, when Eve took of the fruit and gave some to Adam, and they did eat. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15, the Lord God says to the serpent, which is Satan, the great fiery red dragon, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So God promises that he's going to make a provision for the sin of humanity, which began with Adam and Eve. And so Satan, at that point, resolves himself to try to destroy the promised seed. So this actually begins in the days of Noah, when Satan tries to contaminate the human race. Satan's fallen angels go and intermarry with human women. And basically what Satan's trying to do is contaminate the whole human race so that God's promises will be made null and void. And Satan continues persecuting the seed line into the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was called Israel. And the woman, of course, is Israel, representative of Jacob. This is the seed line, the line through which God's Christ, the Messiah, would come. So let us apply here. The roots of anti-Semitism run deep, and they are satanically inspired. Anti-Semitism is both earthly and spiritual in nature. Satan used the Egyptian nation and the Canaanite nations to fight against God's people. In the book of Esther, we've got Haman the Agagite. In the days of the Maccabees, Satan raised up many enemies to fight against the Jews. The Islamic peoples have been at war with the Jews. The descendants of Ishmael at war with the children of Isaac, the father of Jacob. In World War II, we all know about the Holocaust and the horrors that Hitler perpetuated. And again, in all of these things, Satan's plan to destroy the Jewish people and ultimately to negate the promises of God is being attempted to be played out. More recently, we've got the concept of the Palestinian state, which again is a persecution of the Jewish people. There's no such thing as a Palestinian in the Bible. You won't find that word there. Why? Because the word the Palestinian wasn't even coined until all of the scriptures were written. The Palestinian, that term Palestinian, is a derivative of Philistine or Philistine, and it was a name that the Romans applied to the state of Israel in order to destroy the identity of the Jews after the Bar Kokhba revolt in 132 AD. This is after even the book of Revelation was written. And we also have opposition to the Jewish state today by the United Nations and the global media. So this anti-Semitism, this desire to devour the child and to destroy this woman who gave birth to the child, the nation of Israel through whom the Christ child came, is always active. And even after the Christ child came, there's still this enmity between Satan and this woman in Revelation chapter 12, the Jewish people, because in the Jewish people, the devil looks in the mirror and he sees his own defeat. Ultimately, which came through Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 5. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Okay, the male child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. This is God the Son incarnate. And the psalmist talked about it in Psalm chapter 2, verse 9. We have a reference to this. In fact, the book of Revelation, we might say, Revelation 12:5 is a reference, or a reference to the fulfillment of Psalm chapter 2 in verse 9. You shall break them with a rod of iron. We're talking about the Son of God, the Messiah. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. This is the ultimate victory of Jesus Christ over the world kingdoms and Satan and his forces, his world system. And we have a couple of more cross references as we go there in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2 in verse 44. Daniel chapter 2 in verse 44. And that reads, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." And this is going to happen when Jesus Christ comes back at his second coming and institutes his millennial kingdom reign on earth. And again, in Daniel chapter 7, verses 26 and 27, we read earlier verses 23 through 25, so now we're following along the same line of thinking. Isn't it amazing how this whole Bible, these things work together, and especially Daniel and Revelation? It's absolutely amazing, God's perfect truth. "But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion," talking about Antichrist's dominion, "to consume and destroy it forever, and then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High." Yeah, that's us. His kingdom, Jesus Christ's kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of Jesus Christ. So the male child will be caught up to God in his throne, and we have a reference here to the resurrection and ascension, God the Son taking his rightful place with God the Father.